1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll read verse 15 and 16 for our text. And I'm going to look at the subject of the necessity of judging. The necessity of judging. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As I said, we're going to look at the subject matter that's found here in 1 Corinthians 2 on the necessity of judging. And you'll notice that the Scripture says here that he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. As we think about this, every child of God has the ability to judge all. If you're here this morning and you've been saved by God's grace, God has equipped you to be a judge. As a matter of fact, He has made us judges. And the Bible speaks of us in different ways in the Scripture. Sometimes it speaks of us as saints, sometimes as sheep, and sometimes it speaks of us as servants. And here, the Bible teaches us that we are judges. Every child of God is equipped to judge. And you have three vital things in this text that give you the ability to make good, God-honoring judgment or choices, if you will, in your life. And God has given you His Word, He has given you His Spirit, and He has given you a new nature. And with those three things, you have the ability and we'll see the responsibility to make good, God-honoring judgments. With this, as we think about this, we do not have an excuse. If you're here and you're a child of God, you do not have an excuse to live any way you want to. You don't have an excuse for not knowing how to live, not knowing how to act, not knowing what to believe, not knowing how to respond to others. In other words, God has so equipped you with the ability to judge that you can and should and must make good, right, biblical choices. You have the Word of God. Notice, if we'll go back into the context here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that the apostle begins this in verse 1 by saying, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom," and he's talking in that context about worldly wisdom, man's wisdom, "declaring unto you the testimony of God." So Paul establishes, first of all, to the Corinthians that he came to them not with his own words, not with his own wisdom. In other words, he didn't try to figure out how he was going to deal with the Corinthians. He came with them with divine inspiration. He came to them with the Word of God, as it's called here, the testimony of God, which in verse 4 is called the power of God. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now I want you to notice very carefully that the power of God in the context is the Word of God. It's just like he had said earlier in Romans, where he says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And he's talking there about the Word of God that's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the Word of God is the very power of God that gives you the ability and the right and the capability of making good biblical choices or judgments or discernments. And so you have the Word of God. And notice in verse 13 he says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You'll notice that the Apostle Paul here brings up that subject matter of apostolic doctrine. In other words, the New Testament, the things that we speak, Paul is saying. And we could elaborate on this as we if we compared Scripture with Scripture. But just know this, when Paul says the things that we speak, the testimony of God, the power of God, he's talking about the very Word of God itself. And you have the Word of God, and as we spoke about before we ever left the other week, about the difference between certainty and confusion. Certainty is found in the Word of God. So you don't have to live your life, you know, trying to float around figuring out what you're supposed to do. You've got a book. And in that book is God's instruction manual for you to live your life. It'll tell you how to have family life, how to have work life, how to have friends. It'll tell you everything that God wants you to know about how to live your life. And so you have the Word of God. Secondly, not only do you have the Word, you have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leads you, guides you, directs you. He, of course, He always does it with the Word of God. And He prompts you. He convicts you. He does different things. But you have the Spirit of God in you. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. You remember now, the church at Corinth is a church that has a lot of problems. And he's going to identify those problems. And basically, he's telling them as he begins this, you have no excuse for the problems that are going on in the church at Corinth. Because you have the Word of God, you have the Spirit of God, and thirdly, you'll find that you have a new nature, which is called in the text the mind of Christ. And with those three things, there is no reason for any believer to be in confusion. They didn't have to be in confusion about the way they were living as a church. And so he deals with this in this subject matter. But they had the Word of God. They also had the Spirit of God. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The them things are the things that God has in store for us, what God has blessed us with, found in verse 9. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And what man knoweth the things of man, say the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows the things of God. And he's given to us the Spirit of God that we may know the things of God. Now verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And then verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So here you have the Word of God, and you also have the Spirit of God. And through the Spirit of God, you can make spiritual discernment. The word discernment means to make a judgment. You can discern whether this is right or this is wrong. You can discern whether this is a gray, if this is light or darkness. You can discern how to live your life. You don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to live wandering around. As I gave an illustration back out west, you don't have to live like a pinball. You ever play pinball? You know, in my day, we didn't have all these video games that they have today. They were just coming in I guess when I was about 12, 13 or so, they started out with some video games. But before that, we had pinball machines. And a pinball, and some of the older people know what it is, you pull a little thing back here and let it go, and the ball shoots up, and then it bounces off of things. And you don't know where it's going to go. And that's a way that a lot of believers live their lives. They're at the control of others who pull the thing, and they're shot off in some direction, and then they just bounce around not knowing how to live their life. But there's no excuse. There's no excuse for believers to live their life just any old way. There's no excuse for you to be bounced around from here and there not knowing how to live your life, because you have a book and you have the Spirit of God living in you. So those two things are paramount in knowing how to judge, make right judgments, make good biblical decisions in your life. There is a necessity of judging, and every child of God has the ability to make good biblical judgments. Say, well, Brother Shepherd, I don't know my Bible too well. Well, you better get in the book. You say, well, I've got the Spirit of God, but I don't know if I'm living right. If I'm doing right, then you need to get in touch with the Spirit of God. So the Bible teaches us that you have and you should be judging. You have the Word of God, you have the Spirit of God, and you can make spiritual discernments. You can say, yes, this is of the Spirit of God. No, this is of the spirit of the world. This is of God. God's leading me this way. How do I know He's leading me this way? Because you have the book. Those two things go hand in hand. And then thirdly, you have a new nature. Of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul concludes this chapter by saying, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. Well, nobody knows the mind of the Lord that you may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So he instructs us. How does he instruct us? He instructs us with his mind. He gives us the ability to think right. And that ability comes with a new nature. So if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you have the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, your hope of glory. You have His Word, the living book, the infallible book, a book that doesn't change. Then you have at your fingertips and within you all you need to make biblical, right, godly judgments. You have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is spoken of in Ephesians 4 this way. Ephesians 4, he's given you a mind, it's called the mind of Christ. He's given you a new nature, and in that new nature, you can think right. No, the lost, they can't think right. They can't make good biblical decisions. They can't discern right from wrong. They go about their life very aimless, but there's no excuse, absolutely no excuse for any Christian at any time to just live aimlessly in this life. And so in the book we find this truth in Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Ephesians 4 and verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now there's a responsibility for every child of God to do something in that text. And that responsibility is both negative and positive. The negative is you got to put off some things, and the way to put that off is to put off the old man. If you'll put off the old man, all the things with the old man will go with it. And you're to put on the new man, and when you put on the new man, new things come with that. So, as a believer, you're not to live a life that is dedicated to and subject to the flesh, your old nature. And there's a war. You know this war. This is no new truth to anybody in this building this morning that I know of that's a believer. You may not be a believer, and this may be all new to you, but if you're a child of God, this is not a new subject when I'm talking about this war going on between the old nature and the new nature. But what you do is you put off the old nature, you kill the old nature, you deny the flesh, you do all those things that the Scripture says, mortify the deeds of the body. You do that, and then you put on the new man that you may be renewed in your mind so that you can think right. In other words, so you can make good, godly, biblical decisions. Some of you here are young Christians. Matter of fact, many of you here are young Christians. And some of you here are very young in age. And you got your life before you. And there are a lot of old-timers in here that could tell you, I wish I wouldn't have made this decision or that decision. I made this bad choice and that bad choice and this bad choice. You don't want to live your life with a life full of bad choices. You need to live your life with making good choices, sound choices, biblical choices, good judgments. And so there is a necessity for you to learn to judge. And if you're here this morning and you're saved, you can make good judgments. Because you have the Word of God, you have the Spirit of God, and you have a new nature. Every child of God has the ability to judge. And the Bible says here, he has the ability to judge not some things, not a few things, but he has the ability to judge all things. Notice that. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he is judged of no man. And I believe that the idea of that text is that if we will take the time with our responsibility to judge everything that comes our way, then nobody can lay in judgment on us. It'll stick. Now you will be judged if you don't make right judgments. Yes, you will. You'll be judged by the Lord Himself. You'll be judged by other Christians. You'll be judged by the world. They'll say, hey, I thought that man was a Christian. They'll make judgments on you. Listen, it's interesting that even the world knows how Christians ought to be. How come Christians don't know how Christians ought to be? But the world knows how they ought to be because they'll say, hey, I thought he was a Christian. Look at him lying. I thought he was a Christian. Look at him. He's cheating on his business deals. I thought he was a Christian. Look at him. He's living in adultery. I thought he was a Christian. You see how that works? They know, the world even knows that some things are just not right. At least you're not living up to your testimony. And so it is, beloved, we are to judge all things. We have a responsibility, not only an ability to do it, but a responsibility to do it. Every child of God not only has ability, first of all, but also, secondly, a responsibility. God's not going to let you off the hook. He's given you His Word, His Spirit, and a new nature. You think He's going to let you off the hook? When He gives things to men, He makes them accountable for what they have. So God's not going to let you off the hook. Oh no. Because He's given you His Word, you have responsibility. Because He's given you His Spirit, you have responsibility. What you're going to do with the Holy Ghost that lives in you. You have a responsibility with a new nature that He's given you to live right. And so every child of God has a responsibility to judge all things. We must learn to make good, God-honoring judgments about everything in our life. We must learn to judge, first of all, self, which we'll see later on. Self is primary. You must learn to judge yourself. And if you'll not judge yourself, then God will judge you. If you don't judge yourself, you'll be brought into condemnation by others if you don't judge yourself. So you must first learn to judge yourself. And then secondly, you must learn to judge others. You must learn to judge doctrine and churches and activities and friendships and lifestyles and worldviews. You must judge everything that's coming your way. And we live in a media age when there's a lot of things that come our way. We need to learn to judge that. Filter it. How do you filter it? You filter it through the Word, through the Spirit, and through the new man. You got to do that. You got to learn to do that. You're responsible to do that. God wants you to judge. Did you know that? Now here's the way Satan works. Satan works, he'll take the Word of God because he knows the Word of God. Satan knows the Word of God. He knows how to mishandle it. He knows how to twist it. He knows how to use it to his advantage. He knows how to use it to your disadvantage. So you got to learn to know it. You need got to know it right. He knows it wrong, but he knows it. Whenever he tempted the Lord, he tempted the Lord, and the Lord took him back to the Word. You're going to have to take him back to the Word and correct the boy with it. You got to learn it, know it, and live it. And you have it. You have an advantage. And you have an advantage because you have the Spirit of God. Satan doesn't have the Spirit of God. You have an advantage because you have a new nature. Satan doesn't have a new nature. You have an advantage over the world. The world doesn't have a new nature. They don't have the Spirit of God and they don't have the Word of God. They think they know the Word of God. They'll come along. And I know how it is with some of you young people. You get in little chat rooms and you get your Facebook and you got all these little things going on, MySpace, and I don't know all the things they have out there in the world today. But I know that there's a lot of things that you're inundated with. And when you get in there, there's a lot of things that are said. People are denying that God exists. You'll find that. And people cast out on the Word of God. And they'll say there's contradictions in the Word of God. And they'll try to show some. But they don't know the Word of God. Most of those people on there don't read the Word of God. They read what somebody else said about the Word of God. And so they'll get on there and they'll think like, judge not. I'm sure that's the biggest one you've heard. You don't have a right to judge. Now I'm going to deal with this for just a moment. Then I'll get on to my subject. But Satan doesn't want you to judge. Not righteous judgments. He doesn't want you to make any righteous judgment. He didn't want you to do that. So he'll have one of his own. You know, one of those fools who said there is no God, but they believe in Satan. And how do they even know there's a Satan? You know how you know there's a Satan? Because the Word of God tells us there's a Satan. Isn't it funny how these guys come along and say, I'm a Satanist, and I don't believe in God. And then they'll say, I'm a fake Satanist, and we're going to defeat God. And it's interesting that the book, there is no book that Satan wrote. There's no book. We know that there's a Satan because of the book. That's why we know there's a Satan. Now think about it with me. Just think about these things. Make some righteous judgments about this. But they'll come along and their guys will say, see over in Matthew it says, judge not. Right? And then they scribble out the rest where it says, what the rest of the verse says, it says, judge not lest ye be judged. And then it gives a whole list of how to do that thing. Jesus is not saying don't ever judge. I mean, if he did, that'd be a contradiction, wouldn't it? He doesn't make any contradiction. He didn't say don't ever judge. He tells you how to do it. We're going to get on to that. Satan doesn't want you to judge, though, because if you make judgments, well, but then you got to put his ministers under the spotlight. He don't want you to do that. You'll have to put his philosophy under the spotlight. He doesn't want you to do that. You'll have to put psychology under the spotlight. He don't want you to do that. You'll have to put the New World Order under the spotlight. He don't want you to do that. He don't want you to make a judgment about anything that's spiritual. He don't want you to make a judgment about anything in your life. He just wants you to kind of go along like a pinball, just being bumped around. So we have to judge. We have a responsibility to judge. And we must learn to make good, God-honoring judgments about everything. God wants you to judge and examine and discern and evaluate and prove all things. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. As the apostle concludes the book of 1 Thessalonians, which is a book about the second coming of Jesus Christ, at least the latter part of it is, he gives some warnings and admonitions at the end of that book. And he says this in a long list of little snippets of what we're supposed to do and not do. He says in verse 21, prove all things. The word prove means put to the test, examine. In other words, judge. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. The word fast means tight, with a good grip. So you're to make a biblical discernment. You're to judge. And then you're to get a good grip on what's good and hold on to it. Let all the bad stuff go. God wants you to judge. And notice he says, prove all things. Just like he said over there in the book of 1 Corinthians 2. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. God wants us to judge. He wants us to examine, to discern, to evaluate, to prove, put to the test all things. God wants you to judge yourself and others and preachers and doctrine and churches and activities and friendships and lifestyles and worldviews. He wants you to judge everything, to weigh them out, with the Word, with the Spirit of God, by the new man. Those three ways. By the Word, with the Spirit of God, and by the new man. He tells us here, who can judge? He that is spiritual. And I believe when you get to the text here, in verse 15, says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. I don't believe the emphasis there is he that has a spiritual nature. I believe that's in verse 16. You have the mind of Christ. You have the ability to do it. But we'll see as you go into chapter 3 that he's talking about that a man who not only has a spiritual nature, but lives in that spiritual nature. Because he contrasted in chapter 3 with that which is carnal, or fleshly, or earthly. In other words, who can judge? Well, he that's spiritual, who's living out a spiritual life as opposed to a carnal life. You should be making spiritual judgments about everything and making righteous judgments. So with that this morning, I want to begin to look at this necessity of judging. First of all, I want you to know it is necessary for you to be spiritual and not carnal. In other words, it's necessary that you be able to do this and to do it, so that you will be spiritual and not carnal. Now the Bible knows carnal Christians. I'm always careful when I talk about, I try to be careful anyway. I sometimes use words that I'm not as exact as the Bible is because I'm not inspired. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm not inspired. The book's inspired. I'm not inspired. I'm not infallible, but the book's infallible. Sometimes I say things that aren't quite right. I don't do it intentionally. I don't do it to deceive people. Sometimes it comes out that way and I think about, well, that's not the exact way I should have said that. But I know this much, that the Bible teaches that there are true Christians who are carnal. But it also teaches that there are those who are deceived. And I wouldn't rest my eternal salvation on being a carnal Christian. I'll tell you that right now. So I say that. That's kind of a, if you will, preparatory phrase, if you will, kind of preparing you for what I'm going to say about carnal Christians. The fact is that not everybody makes good judgments. And the reason they don't make them, I'm talking about saved people, the reason they don't make them is because they're not fit to make them. They're living in carnality. And the Bible teaches us in our text that if you're going to be able to judge right, then you're going to have to live right. And they go hand in hand. And that's the question. Notice what he says in verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Then get down in chapter 3 and he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, here he's talking to a church made up of saved people, who he says that the majority of that assembly was carnal. Now, I didn't say it. Now, I've read books. There are some, you know, especially among Sovereign Grace kind of people, there are books out there talk about lordship salvation. I believe in lordship salvation, but I believe it the biblical way, and that is that it's a surrendered lordship. That Jesus is Lord, we don't make Him Lord. He's already Lord. He's already King. You don't make Him that, but you surrender to His lordship. And you surrender to His kingship in your life. That's what I talk about when I talk about lordship salvation. Some people take it further than they should. And they take it so far, they say there is no such thing as a carnal Christian. That's just not true. Because I got a Bible right here that tells me there's a church full of them right here in 1 Corinthians. They're carnal Christians. I said it with what I said earlier, by don't bank on your salvation if you're a Christian. It should concern you. And you shouldn't have any kind of assurance and say, well, I'm saved. I was saved when I was 5 years old. Or I was saved when I was 10 years old. Or I was saved when I was 30 years old, but I've lived like the devil ever since. Well, don't have any assurance in that. But there are carnal Christians, because this text says there are. But anyway, your ability to judge what's right and wrong will tell on you. It will tell on you. How you judge will tell on you. So how are you going to know what you know is really of God? How are you going to know that the decisions you make are really God's decisions? How are you going to know, beloved, if what you're doing is right or wrong? We live in a world where there are many tares among the wheat. And I'll tell you what, the wheat sometimes just don't have a lot of fruit. So we need to know some things, and we can know them by spiritual judgment. But you've got to be spiritual. You've got to live spiritual to make spiritual judgments. And that's what he's telling the church at Corinth. They had made some poor judgments. They had judged that Apollos was better than Paul. That was a poor judgment. Well, and some of them said, no, Paul is better than Apollos. Well, that's a poor judgment. My baptism is better than your baptism, not because of the administrator, not because of the Lord's church, but because Paul was superior to Apollos, or Apollos was a superior to Paul. Paul says, you got it all wrong, guys. You're looking at the wrong man. Some of you are looking at Apollos, and some of you are looking at Paul, but you should be looking at Christ. See the difference? They had made a poor judgment. They'd taken their eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. And so some of them were carnal and not spiritual. And of course it gives in the text how a man might know whether he's carnal. He can know whether he's carnal, whether he likes to fight a lot. He can know whether he's carnal, where he envies everything. You know, when they envy, that says it's not right for him to have this. I don't have it. That's envy. Say, it's not right for him. He has this spiritual gift and I want that spiritual gift. Or he has this wife and I'd like, my wife's an ugly wife, but I want a pretty wife like he's got. They make bad judgments. You know, say, that's ludicrous, Pastor. No, it's not ludicrous. There's a lot of people who've committed adultery because they like somebody else's wife better than they like their own. Huh? Is that right? So here you got this. People don't know how to make spiritual judgments. They don't have right judgments. They don't think right. They envy. And not only do they envy, but they fight a lot. And not only do they fight a lot, but they have divisions. They're walking as men. They're always divided. They can never be unified. And that can be that way in a home. That can be that way in a church. That can be that way in society. All of society is at division because they're carnal. The world's at its throat because it's carnal. Christians ought not to be that way. So how are we going to know whether it's really of God or not? Is it the wisdom of men? Is it the wisdom of this world? Is it the powers of this world? In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, I didn't come with you the wisdom of this world. I didn't come with you the power of this world. The wisdom of this world is foolish. And the powers of this world are going to be blown up one day by the Lord Himself. I've come to you with the power of God. I've come to you with lasting words, with the power of the Spirit of God. He contrasts them between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. He does what James does. So you have to determine, beloved, whether what you're listening to is devilish or divine, whether it's earthly or heavenly, whether it's sensual or sanctifying. That's going to be your test as to know whether what you're hearing is of the Lord or not. I'm going to leave you with this and then back to it later. In James 3. Now, if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to live the Christian life. If you want to be a good Christian, a developed Christian, a growing Christian, in other words, spiritual, then you got to get page. You got to get in the book. And you got to listen to the right kind of wisdom. James chapter 3 and verse 13. James 3:13 says, "Who is a wise man and doeth knowledge among you? Let him show," that's how you live, "let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts and glory not and lie not against the truth." In other words, if you're this way, don't say you have wisdom because you're just living like a fool. Say, believers can't be fools. I beg your pardon. Believers can live like fools. Remember those foolish virgins? They're not lost, by the way. No, those foolish virgins, they didn't have things right. The Lord came and things weren't right with them. But anyway, we're not even going to get on that. "If ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." The truth that you... He says the question, verse 13, "Who is wise? Are you wise?" "Oh, I'm wise." "Are you really wise?" Verse 15, "This wisdom..." This envy and strife kind of wisdom, this wisdom that's always fighting and never having good success, "this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Here's the contrast. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." What you're listening to, how you live your life, how you gauge whether you're doing right or wrong. Is it devilish or divine? Is it earthly or heavenly? Is it sensual or sanctifying? What kind of wisdom do you have? You see, you got to be able to judge. You better judge. You better learn to judge. If you don't, you'll be carried away with every wind of doctrine. If you don't learn to judge right, it'll kill you. How do I know that? Because that's what 1 Corinthians says. Some were sick and weak, and even some of them slept because they didn't make good judgments. May God bless you with this and give you something to chew on for a while. Don't forget it now. Don't just go out and forget it real quick like. You have got to be a spiritual discerner, a judge. Your life, your family's life, this church's life depends on it. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Thank you for your attention to God's Word.